بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be praised. He is the one, the creator of the heavens and earth, and the one whom our affairs in His hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation for the sole purpose of worshipping Him. And peace and blessings be on the last Prophet and Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his companions and the ones who followed their way to the Day of Judgment. We start, inshaAllah, this series of lectures, tafsir of Surah Luqman. This surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in Mecca on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Makki Qur'an has special characteristics. And one of the most important character of the Makki Qur'an is to tackle the issue of Aqidah and Tawheed, and to speak to the depth of the human soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who created mankind, and He knows about the soul of mankind, and He knows about the fitrah of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created us, He created us with the fitrah, with the natural tendency to believe in Him, to worship Him. That's why mankind, they do believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do believe that they need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they want a direction. They want to be directed. And sometimes the flesh and the bones and the desires they have, it overtakes them. It controls their life. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the messengers and the prophets to remind them and to direct them back to the straight path so they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's indeed how Surah Luqman is talking to people. And we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented the matter of Tawheed, the matter of Aqeedah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that for, in four beautiful different rounds. As an Ustaz Sayyid Qutb, he presented in his book of Tafsir. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this surah, He takes the human soul into four rounds. He presents for them Tawheed in four different ways, subhanallah al-azim. Let's just take it one by one as an introduction before we analyze the verses of Surah Luqman verse by verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He started the first round by presenting Alif Lam Mim, starting with this verse, these corrupt letters, representing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran in the Arabic language for the people of Arabia to understand it, as we will talk about it in detail. Then He moved to tell us the wisdom comes from this Quran, and the guidance and mercy is from the Quran. And then He described to us Al-Muhsineen, who take their guidance and mercy from the Quran. They are the ones who establish the Salat, who perform the Salat and pay the Zakat, and they believe in the hereafter. These three characteristics are the characteristics of the Muhsin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said these are the guided ones. And on the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us there is some group of people who buy and purchase idle talk. They rather have idle talk instead of the guidance. They are the ones who will be tormented on the hereafter. And when the verses of Allah are presented to them, they turn away with arrogance and pride, as if they have never heard it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us the core of the matter, that the one who believe and do righteous deed, they deserve Jannat al-Na'im, the gardens of delights, and they are in it till eternity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that, He will take us on a journey to see the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He created the heavens and earth, and this vastness of the universe to present to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is worthy of worship. And he compares and he draws this comparison between the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation of the evildoers, that no one can create anything as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. Then the second round in this surah speaks about Luqman and the wisdom he gave to his son. And what was the wisdom? To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to warn him from falling into shirk. When he said, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, O my son, do not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the wisdom. The wisdom is to thank Allah and to stay away from associating anything beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he advised him to take care of his father and his mother, to keep the relation of kin and to be dutiful to your parents, because it is part of Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses in the Quran, he coupled looking after your parents, being dutiful to your parents, with the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, this great relationship, the matter of Tawheed is greater than being dutiful to your parents. If they strive with you to make you join in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something else that you have no knowledge of, do not obey them. So the whole core of the advice of Luqman to his son is Tawheed and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he moved to explain to his son the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is a mustard seed on a rock somewhere, or in the heavens, or in this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to bring it. And then he orders his son to establish his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya bunayya aqim as-salata wa'mur bil ma'ruf. And this is the core of Islam, to have a correct relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to enjoin good and forbid evil and to have patience on that. And inshallah, we take these verses verse by verse and we explain them. And then he said to him, do not turn your face away from men with pride. So here the advice is to quash this pride inside of you and to have humbleness towards the people. And this is the second round, the advice of Luqman to his son, not to associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah alone. And this is another way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to us Tawheed. And we move to the third round, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of his blessings, that he subjected the heavens and earth to us, and he bestowed on us so much mercy. And some people would argue and debate about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their ignorance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presenting the matter of Tawheed again by reflecting on the creation of Allah, by reflecting on the blessings he bestowed on mankind, yet some people still argue. What a flawed argument. What a silly argument. After you have seen the creation of Allah, and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you so much blessings, you still want to argue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You still want to argue against the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the verses would move on to say, and when it was said to them, come to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, they would say, we will follow our forefathers. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, he's shown us the logic of the ones who turn away from the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation and the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shaitan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Even if shaitan invites them to the torment of the fire, Shuf subhanallah, the ones here, the ones who turn away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones who turn away from the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with flawed arguments, with wrong arguments, with silly arguments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, the shaitan has misled them. They turned away with arrogance because the shaitan has misled them and gave them weak excuses, which is we're following the footsteps of our forefathers. And then here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remind us that the one who surrenders and submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed he is the one who has grasped the most trustworthy handhold, which is La ilaha illallah and Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would say to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the believers, whoever disbelieve, let not his disbelief grieves you, O Muhammad. So no matter how much you do da'wah, the ones who choose to reject the da'wah of Islam, do not let them grieve you. Do not let them make you upset. Do not let them make you sad, because they have chosen that way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erected enough proofs for his tawheed and his monotheism, and that he exists and he is the one and the only one worthy of worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he will give him little bit of pleasure. نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا. We will let them enjoy for a little while. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, he will let them enjoy for a little while. This dunya, ثُمَّ نَطَّرُّهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. And then in the end, we shall oblige them to enter a great torment. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, these people, they did understand and they do know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to know that Allah is the creator of the heavens and earth. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. And if you were to ask them who created the heavens and earth, they will tell you Allah. Then he said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah, say all the praises and thanks be to Allah. But most of them know not. Most of them, they do not know that all the praises and thanks has to be to Allah. And part of thanking him is to worship him alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he remind us one more time that he does not need our worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to Allah belongs whatsoever is in the heavens and the earth. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. He is rich, free of all needs, worthy of all praise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, reminding us also back to the issue of the creation and back to the issue of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that his words are endless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words would not be exhausted, and that the creation of the heavens and earth like the creation of one soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. The creation of you all and the resurrection of you all are only as the creation and resurrection of one single soul or single person. Shuf subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention again. See how I created the whole earth and everything that is on it. It is not hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect it again after it's all demolished. And then in the last round of this introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention again about the night and the day, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merges the night into the day and merges the day into the night, and everything runs into a course, each running its course for a term appointed, which is the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect everything. And then a reminder again, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth, and anything else beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is falsehood. Anything beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be perished, destroyed, demolished, and nothing will be left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the haqq, is the one, and he is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, do not invoke anyone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The issue of Tawheed presented again in this surah in a different form and a different way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shows us his blessings again, that Allah, he makes the ship sail throughout the sea so he can show you his creation. And in everything there is a verse, there is a miracle for everyone who has patience and a grateful person. Every grateful person and every person who has patience, he sees in everything the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performs. Then he shows us again the issue of Tawheed about the one who are in the sea and they face very high and strong waves. They get scared and then they will supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he saves them to a safe land, some of them will be thankful and some of them will be not thankful and they will disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a similarity when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing a similarity that in this dunya you supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you are at the time of ease you forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, O people, fear Allah and remember a day that you are going to be resurrected, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not save you if you didn't do good deeds. And no one will benefit you, neither your father nor your son. And do not let this dunya cheat you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the knowledge of everything and the keys of the unseen are in his hands. To summarize this introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented Tawheed for us and the matter of Tawheed and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in four different ways. The first way to bring our attention that this Quran has the wisdom, and the ones who appreciate that are the ones who pray and fast and believe in the hereafter. And there is some people who turn away from this wisdom and they reject this wisdom, which is inside the Quran, where the Quran is about Tawheed and monotheism and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that Allah created the heavens on the earth so we can realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the second part, the advice that Luqman, this wise man, has gave to his son, to worship Allah and to thank Allah and to believe in Allah alone and not to worship anything beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the obedience of the parents does not mean that you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the core of the matter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he showed us through his creation and his blessings that we should not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should not listen to the shaitan when he argues a bad argument that is based on no ground. Wal'iyadhu billah. And in the fourth and last round, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us he holds the affairs of the people in his hands, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in the control of all the creation. That's why we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we can be rewarded on the day of judgment. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we start with the surah and we will take it verse by verse, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful.
Alif Lam Mim.
These letters, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the ulama differed in opinion about the meaning of these letters. The best opinion, which is majority of ulama of tafsir, are on these letters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them there to drive the attention of the Arabs, that you the Arabs, and the word al-Arab means, the word al-Arab means the ability to explain yourself eloquently. So the Arabs They were known for that. And constructed beautiful poetry from the Arabic language, which was their pride. They were prideful of that language. They used to compete in that language. And this is what they used to strive on and show off against the other nations with their language and the eloquency of their language. So to such an extent that a couple of verses of poetry could destroy a whole tribe. Let me give you an example. In Arabia, there was a tribe called the Nose of the Camel, Anful Naqa. The members of this tribe used to feel disgraced and shy of saying we come from such a tribe. What's a nose of a camel? It is not a good name to attribute yourself to. Not like Quraysh, for example. Quraysh had a good name as a tribe. So the members of that tribe used to feel ashamed when people asked them which tribe you belong to. Then one day, Al-Hutay'ah, one of the great Arab poets, he wrote a poetry to praise them. He said to them, "You are the nose of the camel and everyone else is the tail of the camel." So from that day, they used to be the most proudful tribe because one line of poetry. So subhanAllah, this is how much pride the Arabs have in the Arabic language. So one line of poetry could cause a disaster and one line of poetry could bring a tribe into glory and so on and so forth. Let me then elaborate. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he challenged them through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and through this Quran. He's saying to them, Alif, Lam, Mim. These are the letters that you use to make your poetry with. Alif, Lam, Mim are the same letters used in this Quran. Hence, you cannot challenge this Quran. You cannot write a poetry or anything if you are able to, or even you, all of you, to get together to write something similar to this Quran. It was a challenge for them. And that's why the Arabs, they were not able to challenge the Quran. And when they used to hear the Quran as, yani in the seerah where Abu Sufyan and another two from the kuffar of Quraysh used to crawl at night to listen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the Quran. And they used to come back with amazement about this Quran. It used to amaze them. That's where we're able, once they hear the Quran, to follow the Quran. As you will see insha'Allah further on, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And of mankind is he who purchases idle talks, which is, insha'Allah, we'll talk how that the kuffar of Quraysh used to get people, used to get someone to recite stories so he can attract the people away from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to them, Alif, Lam, Mim, these letters, this is what the Quran is made from these letters, so bring me something like it if you can, if you claim you are such a strong people in Arabic language. And as you know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, they were disabled, they were not able to bring something similar to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْحَكِيمِ.
These are verses of the wise book, the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying, this is the Quran. This is the book, the wise book. Now why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the surah with the wise book and talking about wisdom? Because the surah is based around Luqman. And Luqman, his advice to his son is a wise advice. So the theme of the whole chapter of Surah Luqman is about wisdom. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here started with Al-Kitab, Al-Kitab Al-Hakim. This is the wise book. Subhanallah Al-Azim. طيب, what is the hikmah then? What do we understand from Al-Kitab Al-Hakim? What is the hikmah? The Quran, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is divided to three parts. Three main parts. The first news or issues we need to believe in, issues of aqeedah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us akhbar to believe in. Second, tashri'ah, do and don't do, prohibitions and obligations. And the third ones, manners, akhlaq. So this Quran, in the three divisions of it, all of it wisdom. All of it contains wisdom in it. The matters that we need to believe in, they're all wisdom, all full of wisdom. Subhanallah al-Azim. The Sharia of Islam, it's all full of wisdom. So one would say, cutting the hand of the thief, is there wisdom in it? Isn't it a harsh punishment? Subhanallah al-Azim. The ones who talk in such a way, they have no understanding of Islam whatsoever. They are ignorant of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all the wisdom inside His Sharia. And anyone who claims that it is wisdom outside the Sharia of Islam, he is wrong. He is wrong. He is wrong. The wisdom, all the wisdom is inside the Sharia of Islam, inside the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no wisdom outside that. Let me give you an example again. Cutting the hand of the thief. What is the wisdom behind it? If someone has robbed someone, the first wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify his sin. And he will not be punished for this act on the day of judgment. The second one, it deters people from falling into such a sin. Where today you see the people are locked up in jails, they go inside the jail, they learn new tricks, and they come out from the jail worse criminals than they were before they enter the jail. Somebody who is charged for break and enter, and then he get 1 or 2 years, he goes inside the jail, he learned new tricks, and he came out even worse than he was before. And as you see, the jails cost so much today from the taxpayers' money and to keep and run. And at the same time, it's not bringing any benefit. And I can tell you here in Australia, the jails are flooded with people. There is no more room. So they're building new jails because it doesn't work. That system, it does not work. What works is Islam. The Sharia of Islam, which is sent as a mercy to mankind. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation. And He knows what is inside their hearts. And He knows what deters them and what does not deter them. And if we're to calculate how many people died from diseases they have attracted inside the jails, from AIDS and so on and so forth, because of the life, the evil life inside the jail, if we compare that to how many hands were cut throughout the Islamic history, you'll find not even 10%. If we to see how many hands throughout the Islamic history were cut, let's just say, for example, 400, as some of the ulama claimed. If we compare 400 people who lost their hands because they stole, and how many people contracted deadly diseases from the jail, you find the percentage that doesn't even reach 10%. And this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wisdom of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to people. And also the manners of Islam. The manners of Islam is full of wisdom. When, as you would see in a chapter of Luqman, how do you treat your parents? How the parents should treat their son back. All what we have to do is look at the Surah Al-Hujurat. Look at the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how it taught people the manners of dealing with one another. And that would show you how much wisdom there is inside the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inside the Sharia of Islam. And my brothers, also another point. We sometimes misunderstand wisdom. Sometimes when a da'i speaks about the affairs of the ummah, the troubles of the ummah, and he presents the Islamic solution for them, they will call him unwise person. And the da'i who only speaks about manners, he does not speak about the politics, he does not speak about the affairs of the ummah. He does not speak about what's happening around us as Muslims. They call him the wise da'i. The wise as the da'i who speaks about the affairs of the ummah. And he tries to present a solution. No matter how controversial it is, they will call him unwise Muslim, an unwise da'i. My brothers and sisters in Islam, our sharia is complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has completed for us our religion. He has perfected to us our religion. So, Islam has the solution for the ummah today. And all the wisdom is in our Quran and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if we seek solutions to our ummah outside the Quran and outside the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we are looking in the wrong places and we are making unwise decisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to say, a guide and a mercy for the good doers. So this Quran, the verses of the Quran, contain guidance and mercy for the muhsin. So it is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the believers to the straight path. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered us to seek guidance from Him and to ask Him for guidance at least 17 times a day. When we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance to the straight path. Al-huda is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And guidance necessitates mercy. When you are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His mercy on you. And that will explain to you in the early days of Islam when Bilal radiallahu anhu was tortured and Ammar and the Yasir family, Sumayyah, all of them, they were tortured. Is that mercy? We say yes, that's mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they were guided, Allah bestowed on them His mercy. And that's why they knew it is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they never turned their back on Islam. That's why they remained Muslims bearing the torture as long as they die as Muslims. Because they have tasted the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hijab you are wearing is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How it is a mercy while the hijab is fought in every country today. It is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you compare yourself to the ones who do not wear hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestowed His mercy on you by protecting you, by making you different and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the ones who are exposing their awra to everyone. Exposing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told them not to show to everyone. How cheap they look compared to the ones who are wearing the hijab. And as the ulama, they said, when Alim gave an advice, rahimahullah, he said, compare the piece of chocolate. Which is more expensive? The one that is wrapped or the one that is exposed for the flies and the bees and... It's a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're a believer. At any time you can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate the trouble of your life. It's all mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hudan wa rahmatan lil muhsinin. What is the ihsan? What is ihsan? Ihsan as in the hadith of Jibreel. When he came to the Prophet ﷺ, he asked him, what is Islam, what is Iman, what is Ihsan? It's to worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you cannot see Him, indeed He sees you. Tayyib, what does that mean? How can I worship Allah as if I see Him? You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him when you know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you an example. When you learn that Allah as-Sami'a, البصير العليم المدبر. الله سبحانه وتعالى, the one who hears everything. Then you do not utter words of evil. You do not gossip. You do not indulge in slander. You do not say the wrong words. Why? Because you know that Allah As-Sami', He hears every word you say. Because you know that Allah can hear every word you say, that's why you do not say words of evil. This is how you worship Allah, as if you see Him. طيب, Al-Basir, I do not fall into haram. I do not commit haram. I do not steal anything. Why? Because Allah can see me. I do not go into websites on the internet which contains haram. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see me. Yes, maybe my friends are not watching me. Yes, maybe my parents are not seeing me. No one can see me. But you know that Allah can see you. And this is worshipping Allah again as if you see Him, because you know He is Al-Basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Mudabbir. He is the one who controls the affairs of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Mudabbir. He is the one who controls the affairs of mankind. So when you know that, who do you ask other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know He can hear you. They know He is Al-Mujib, the one who answers the call. So when you make dua, you are certain that there is someone who is answering this call. If you have a trouble in your life, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that, He would elevate this hardship. And this is just a sample of knowing, of worshipping Allah as if you see Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout this verse, He also explained to us who are the muhsinin.
الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ.
Those who perform a salat and give the zakat, and they have faith in the hereafter with certainty. Subhanallah. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. So if we pray and pay zakat and believe in the hereafter, are we from amongst the good doers? We have to have a little stop here. The ones who perform the salat as the salat should be performed, the ones who do their wudu according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, they perform the wudu properly, not half undone and half done. The ones who pray the salat with the khushu', they bring and they perform the pillars of the salat, the sunan of the salat. They pray properly, they pray on time, they do not haste their salat, they do not rush it, they pray it according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with khushu' and humbleness, and they pay the zakat, they pay the charity that they have to pay. And here, two important points. Why always salat and zakat? You have to remember, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that Islam is a social religion. It is not unsocial religion. Islam is a social religion. Came to correct societies. Let me give you an example. The salat is your relationship with your Lord. You correct your relationship with your Lord through the salat. This is the alaqa between creation and a creator. You, as a slave of Allah, you pray to Allah so you can correct that relationship. And the zakat. Yes, the zakat is a ibadah, but the zakat is a banner for social cohesion. When the rich gives the poor money, brings the people together, brings the society together, brings us as Muslims together. The rich gives money to the poor. Why? So he can bring his heart towards the rich person. Instead of that relationship between rich and poor, which is a relationship of enmity and jealousy and hate, that relationship would be a relationship of love and social cohesion and working together and hand in hand. Let me give you an example of zakat. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Muslims to pay the zakat, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, how do we pay the zakat? And within the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, within the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us that on such a number of sheep, you need to pay X number of sheep for the zakat. Without going into too much details. Yani, for example, let's say a shepherd, he owns a flock, and then he needs to pay two sheep as zakat. Now let's say these two sheep, they weigh 50 kilos. Can this shepherd give 50 kilos worth of meat? Yani, for example, with his intellect, he says, how about I'll slaughter them and I clean them and I'll skin them and then cut them up to nice pieces and give them to that poor person. He can then have a barbecue, he can freeze them and eat every day meat according to his needs. The Sharia says no, you cannot do that. Because the aim is not only for him to eat. The aim behind him having these two sheep so he can start his new flock. So one day he can be independent, not relying on you all the time to feed him. Because when you give them to him alive, he can feed them a little bit of grass and he can milk them and use them to start a big flock where then he becomes independent. This is how the Sharia works. As the saying that teach someone how to fish better than giving him a fish. Because if you give a poor person a fish, he eats it. What's after that? He's still unemployed. He's still useless. But if you teach him how to fish, then he can fish for himself. This is one of the aims of the zakat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, they perform the salat, which is your relationship with the Creator, and you pay the zakat, your relationship with the creation. Islam is a complete religion. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us about the motivation. What motivates a person to do the salat? What motivates a person to pay the zakat? Is it the sword above his head? Is it that he's fearing he will receive a fine or he gets locked up? The main motivation has to be believing in the hereafter with certainty. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, and they have faith in the hereafter with certainty. Allahu Akbar. So they have faith in the hereafter with certainty. One day, if your iman is weak and the shaitan is playing in your mind not to pray, Allah subhanahu your belief in the hereafter will motivate you to pray. You know that you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that belief, that you believe with certainty, very quickly get up and pray. Very quickly I haste to pay my zakat. Very quickly I repent from my sins. And that's why how you become a muhsin, a good doer. The hereafter is always in your mind. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the meaning, اذكروا هادم اللذات. Regularly remember the destroyer of all joys, which is death. And this is the first step to the hereafter, which is death. Remember, and that's why the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly reminds us about the Jannah and Jahannam. The Jannah and Jahannam. It is regular. Why? So you're always motivated to do good and you are always motivated to stay away from the haram and falling into evil. And that's why you need to believe in the hereafter with certainty. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. They believe in the hereafter with certainty. And that is the core of Tawheed. That is why Allah created us, to worship Him, and then He will reward us in the hereafter. And the pinnacle of worship is Salat. And the pinnacle of the worship when it comes to wealth is Zakat. And the Salat contains praising of Allah, reciting the Quran, and the Dua, the pinnacle of worship. The Salat encompasses the Dua, and also the pinnacle of worship which is performed by your wealth, the zakat. And that is qadiyatu tawheed, the matter of tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said,
أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
Such are on guidance from their Lord, and such are the successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, that the people who adhere to the salat, who adhere to the zakat, the ones who believe that the wisdom cannot be derived except from the Quran and Sunnah, these are the ones who are the successful ones. The ones who perform their salat, they pay the zakat, and they believe with certainty in the hereafter, they are the guided ones, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on them His mercy, and they are the successful ones. And success here, it is not only in the hereafter, success in this dunya also. Because the ultimate success in this dunya, in this life, to recognize who is your creator, and to worship your creator, and to stay away from anything your creator has prohibited you from falling into. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, let this be a reminder inshallah, and we'll stop on this. And next week inshallah we'll continue from وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُوَ الْحَدِيثِ, verse number 6. And of mankind is he who purchases idle talks. And inside this inshallah, which is the ulama used it as a proof for a prohibition of music, we will just make the lesson next week to talk about all the proofs about the prohibition of listening to music and songs and playing music from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the words of the scholars, because this is the subject in that verse inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik.